ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्या ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मह्यं ददाति सपदान्तिकम् पांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। दिस भक्ति शास्त्री टाइप ऑफ स्टडी प्रभुपाद वेरी मच वांटेड इट. But he didn't want it to be an academic exercise. Just getting a degree somehow. And then becoming some kind of a preacher with the academic qualifications. He wanted, as far as I understand, a corresponding change in our consciousness. Shastri means one who is conducting his life according to Shastra. Shastri. So, by conducting our life according to Shastra, automatically some changes will happen in our consciousness. Or to say it another way, changes in our consciousness are necessary to make our conduct in line with Shastra. Superficially, we cannot do it for long. We may be able to do it for a short time, but to consistently do it is very, very difficult. So if we want to really manifest shastric behavior in our life, corresponding change in our consciousness is essential. And what is that consciousness? In a very summary way, you can say is the consciousness of wanting to please Krishna. That's what should happen from study of all these scriptures, either individually or collectively, or in any other form that is revealed, the scriptural messages. So I would like to begin from how to study scriptures and how that will have a corresponding change in our consciousness when we do it the right way. There will be a change in our consciousness. If we don't do it right way, we can have a change of consciousness in the opposite direction. So, according to Sarva Damodara Goswami, Bhagavatam has to be learned at the lotus feet of a Bhagavata. And it's not the theoretical discourses that they give. Because they are in the consciousness of a true Bhagavata, by offering service to them, the knowledge of the Bhagavatam becomes transferred to our heart. So, study of the Bhagavatam separate from the Bhagavata is not possible. Our primary Bhagavata, of course, is Srila Prabhupada. And then there are so many other devotees who are living the teachings of Prabhupada, making it their life and soul. Their association is also essential. The whole idea through all of these experiences to change our consciousness from the rebellious consciousness which we discussed this morning to Vaikuntha consciousness. With that mission we have to study. When we study any scripture, there are different levels at which you can study the same passage. And the depth to which you study depends on your consciousness. Artificially, you cannot study at a deeper level. Those who are impersonal or very far from Krishna, they study it at a very considerable distance. In other words, they study everything as a good theory or a mythology, but they can't see its application to their life at all. And those who are very intimately connected with Krishna, They study everything as the ideal conduct of a perfect devotee that they should imbibe in their lives. If you come too close like this, you'll get scared. If you go too far like that, you'll be way off the mark. The scriptures are to be studied at some appropriate distance. And that distance at which we should study, we cannot learn unless we go to a Bhagavata. You may study it either too close or too far. If you read it too far, you get no personal information, no personal change. If you study it too close, you may misapply all the verses. You may try to behave like Yudhishthira Maharaj, and you'll get a completely opposite result, because we're not at that consciousness. If you try to behave like Yudhishthira Maharaj with the present consciousness, you'll become mad. Definitely. If you try to lament our fallen condition like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, you know, I'm worse than Jagai Madai, and I'm even worse than worm in the stool. If we try to imitate that consciousness, then we will certainly become mad. We will have to be admitted in the hospital. It will be highly artificial, and we will not be able to do anything. Prabhupada said, if somebody tries to chant Hare Krishna all the time at this point, in the conditioned state, they will become mad. That will happen. So the distance at which we read scripture is very, very crucial. So, therefore, there is a component of education which is general, where many people can study together, and there is a component of education and training which is very personal, which is individually custom made according to each person's consciousness. If you try to take a person closer than that, I have personally done both mistakes while training people, trying to take them too close or trying to keep them too far. And both of them will have the wrong effect. And that is why you need an expert Bhagavata to teach this. Because it's not theoretical science. It's not that you shouldn't read Pandava's pastimes. You should read them, but you should know at what distance to read them. If you read them at the appropriate level which is suited for you, you will benefit from it. If you read at a level which is either too far or too close, you will be sunk. Too far means no taste will come. No sense of responsibility. No sense of connectedness. It's all just way out there. And too close means trying to apply everything and getting confused that, Prabhuji, I try to apply Yudhishthira Maharaj's consciousness and I'm getting totally confused. I don't know how to be so grateful. I don't know. So, there is some merit to understanding Bhagavatam from a number of devotees. Generally, I favor the other side. But today I'm saying this. Because at least you'll get a mixture of distances. There is some merit to that. If you learn from the same devotee all the time, and if he is not able to understand at what distance you should read the Bhagavatam, you can really face a lot of problems. At least once in a while you should go and study under some other devotee for at least a month or so. So that you begin to appreciate the distance at which you are studying is appropriate for you. So, this is how I've been studying the Bhagavatam for years. You really have to, and it also varies. When you're in a very low consciousness, you don't want to study too close. When you're in a very elevated consciousness, you're in an upbeat mood, you know, service ki jai mood, you know, sacrifice ki jai, service ki jai mood, then you can study it at a little closer distance. But when you're frustrated and you're thinking Krishna consciousness is too difficult, that is not the time to discuss very deep lessons of the pastimes. That's the time when you should just discuss Lord Ramachandra obeyed his father and went to the forest. And then he killed many demons and came back victorious to Ayodhya, and all the people loved him so much for that. So when to discuss at what level, this is a very deep science. That is why you need a Bhagavata to learn the Bhagavata. Otherwise you're sure to misapply it. Prabhupada says the science is easy, but the application is difficult. The principles are easy, but the application is difficult. And so one can say, because ultimately it's an exploration of truth. The study of scripture is an increasing exposure of our heart to truth. And as you become more and more truthful and honest, you know, at what level can you examine yourself? That's what the question is. Can you subject yourself to 1,000-watt bulbs all of a sudden? You know, which every nook and corner of your dirt is, you know, magnified. You know, little bit of envy that you have that, you know, your devotee next to you took 2 chapatis and you got only 1 chapati. That kind of envy, can you tolerate in your heart? When you study the Bhagavatam close enough, you'll get that kind of a magnified view of your heart. And you really need to be a servant of servant of servant of a very, very advanced devotee to be able to handle that. Most people can't handle it. And therefore, for most people, the progress is mostly coming from Hare Krishna mantra chanting. Because the chanting of the mantra has a very sublime effect. I'm not saying you shouldn't hear. I'm saying that unless you have prepared yourself by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra properly, without committing any offense, studying scripture at a very deep level will likely cause disturbance rather than creating an inspiring effect on you. I've had numerous examples of all kinds of things happening in the lives of devotees. And to speak to a broad audience such that nobody's bored and that nobody's feeling, you know, suffocated, it's very, very, very difficult to keep the subject. Of course, you can make it all very preliminary and then nobody's disturbed. But then nobody may be too inspired either. So finally, there has to be this kind of general discussion and also very specific discussion with some devotee in whom you have that confidence that he fully understands me, he can take me into the mysteries of Bhagavatam more and more deeply, like that. So when you study the Bhagavatam or any of the scriptures, particularly the Bhagavatam, we have to start with certain basic foundations. Number one, Vyasadeva is taking us systematically through these scriptures. He is not writing randomly or haphazardly. Every verse is built, although there are repeated themes. The themes are repeated, but at deeper levels of consciousness. What you learn in Bhagavad Gita, you learn in the first canto, which you learn in the second canto, which you learn in the third canto. But what you learn in the third canto is a deeper level of churning. Only a very expert devotee can understand that the same topic which is discussed in Bhagavad Gita is again discussed. And Prabhupada discusses from the Bhagavad Gita quite often. But he's churning it at a deeper level. So Vyasadeva is not just academically presenting subjects at deeper and deeper levels. He is drawing us into a deeper level of relationship with Krishna with each and every verse. And we have to therefore cooperate with Vyasadeva in approaching the scripture. Those who study randomly or, you know, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there, they are not likely to make much progress because they'll miss that point that Vyasadeva is making. So first assumption or first foundation is Vyasadeva is highly intelligent. He has completely thought about the whole scripture completely and he is writing it what is exactly appropriate for us, developing the Bhagavatam in that way. The Bhagavatam is different from others. The Bhagavatam is different from other scriptures. It's not the same. Because the Bhagavatam is especially intended by Vyasadeva to take us into pure bhakti. Whereas other scriptures, they pad it a lot. There's a lot of padding. When you read a novel, the actual story will be in 2 pages. 200 pages will be all, you know, he went to this restaurant, he went to that office, and that place happened. It'll all be useless. You can neglect all that and still get the 2 pages. They call it executive summary. Executive summary. So, for people who are very busy, they just hear those 2 pages and get the full book. As if they know the full book, they will talk. Remaining 200 pages always. But Bhagavatam is not like that. Because it is the essence. So it is not that you can remove the padding. If you remove the padding, nothing will be left there. Every verse of Bhagavatam is highly important. Every verse of Bhagavad Gita is highly important. Because these are highly condensed scriptures which are taking us directly into Nivritti Marga. And Vyasadeva has very deeply contemplated our qualities, our needs, what will be available to us, all these things he has thought about in presenting the Bhagavatam. Now, from the point of view of the person who is giving us the association, this fact is even more important. From the person who is learning the Bhagavatam, this fact is important for him to appreciate. But for one who is teaching the Bhagavatam, he has to appreciate this fact even more deeply, because otherwise he is definitely not going to represent Vyasadeva. I have had so many seminars on so many topics by so many people. They are just seminars. But they will not take you to the higher levels of consciousness necessarily. Because that is not done systematically. It is not matching the growth of your consciousness. The discussion of the topics is not matching the growth of the consciousness of the people. Some inspiration will be there. Some general purification will be there. But at the same time, you may also cause some damage. So what is really required is a systematic study. This is the ideal way to study. You learn something for 1 or 2 weeks, the Bhagavata is not available to you. And you apply those principles in your life for that period of time very, very seriously. For example, in the very first chapter of the Bhagavatam, there are instructions on culture, the instructions on appreciating the importance of the Bhagavatam, first 3 verses, then the importance of relationship between the speaker and the hearer, and then the disadvantages of Kali Yuga. After hearing this, this is the first 10 shlokas, after hearing this much, what should a good student do? He should take a couple of weeks' time and apply all these things in his life thoroughly in different aspects. And then he goes forward. So, in other words, there is a systematic way of approaching the practicals and the theory of the scripture. Just like in your physics classes. Nowadays, of course, the children don't do the experiments at all. I heard that nowadays, the invigilator comes. You pay him 100 rupees. And he gives the marks and goes away. This is going on. Many, many colleges. Am I right? He's a teacher, so he knows it. So they don't do the experiments at all. So actually they don't understand the subject. When we were studying high school, the labs were tough. We used to get salts for analysis in chemistry, which we had never seen before. Nowadays, you know, they write what is the salt on this paper itself. And then they do salt analysis, you do. Even that the children cannot do. So unless you do the practice of it side by side with the learning, and that requires monitoring, that requires system of trainees and trainers, that requires a sangha in which you practice it. This is very, very scientific. And I think the way we are doing it here is very, very nice, because you got senior devotees and you got those who are less advanced, and you're treating them differently. If you club them all together, you won't get the same result. The general Bhagavatam class in the morning, that is not actually a training program. It is more an inspiring program. It is for inspiration. And different people will get inspired at different levels. But the systematic training takes place through this. And this is our responsibility as a movement, to offer this training to people. First of all, we have to be situated on that level. At whatever level you are, to that degree of nearness only you can bring a person. You cannot bring them any closer than that. When you try to bring them closer than what you are, there will be a contradiction. You will be speaking beyond your realizations. And by speaking beyond your realizations, you will cause confusion in the lives of people. So the first assumption is, it's not an assumption, it is a foundation, I should say, is Srila Vyasadeva has developed this book in a highly scientific, systematic manner, understanding our needs, our conditions, our limitations, and the limitations of the teachers also. Haribol. He knows that we are not him. He knows that we are fledgling bhaktas, trying to represent him sincerely. So he understands our limitations also. Those who are about to represent this teaching to younger devotees. So all of this Vyasadeva has understood while he's presenting it. That's the first. The second foundation that I personally have been helped a lot by, because many times people ask, how do you connect so much with Srila Prabhupada? You never met him. I never met Srila Prabhupada physically. I saw videos of him, but never met him physically. And even the videos, I saw very few videos of Prabhupada as compared to audios. I heard all of his audio lectures. And I read all his books. Videos I didn't see so many. So, sometimes people ask, how do you connect? One answer I will share with you is you study Prabhupada's books as personal letters to you. Every purport is a personal letter to you. It is not something way out there he is writing only for his immediate disciples who heard from him at that time. He is writing for all people. Just like Vyasadeva is writing for all people. So Prabhupada is also writing not only for people who will read his books, but those who will teach his books. And I would say even more strongly, he is writing it particularly for those who are teaching his books. So with this assumption you should study Prabhupada's books. That he is instructing me. These are his personal letters to me. And sometimes the letters are pretty heavy. Like this morning's purport. They are strong letters. Who is an anathema and who is an envious person and what is his nature and what does it lead to, that enviousness. And Srila Prabhupada is just, of course, his disciples of Prabhupada, sometimes they are even stronger than Prabhupada. So they are writing what Srila Prabhupada would have wanted us to be, what is most relevant for us. So this is the second foundation with which we should read Srila Prabhupada. He is writing to us personal letters. And letters are always like this. Letters have multidimensional layers of understanding. They are dynamic. Letters are dynamic. The same letter that your friend might have written to you 5 years ago, when you studied today, it may have a totally different meaning for you than when you read it at that time. So Srila Prabhupada's books are like that. They're highly dynamic, and depending on the situation in which you're situated, different messages will come to you from the same words, from the same sentences. It's not that you are speculating. By connecting with Srila Prabhupada in that very humble mood, that I'm your servant, Srila Prabhupada, I'm trying to teach your messages to others, I'm myself in Maya, but now I have taken up this service on behalf of you. Like, you know, within the mad hospital, there are less mad people and more mad people. The less mad people are sometimes taking care of the more mad people. This is my position. Because it's easier to take care of mad people with less mad people than to take care of them with totally sane people. Totally sane people will become insane in the company of totally mad people. Somewhat mad people will understand the more mad people very easily, because they have gone through that recently. I am just a little less mad by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. That's all. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to connect with you in this way and serve you so that your purports become relevant in the lives of devotees without scaring them, at the same time without making them complacent. Two extremes. Scaring them is also not good. At the same time, making them feel that it's all very laghu, as if the scripture doesn't have any depth to it. That's also not good. We should leave them, you know, hankering for more without a feeling of heaviness. The message should be heavy, but the feeling should be light. The feeling should be buoyant, but the message should be heavy. Very difficult. Usually it's the other way around. So this is the second foundational principle in studying scriptures, which I found to be very, very, very useful. I can connect with Prabhupada through his purports anytime. And this facility is available to anybody for 10,000 years, not just for today. For 10,000, you will always need a medium, because you need to see a person who's applied these teachings in his life. And you need the connection with Srila Prabhupada directly. Try to understand. You cannot absolve yourself of the responsibility of connecting with Srila Prabhupada. Generally, we say Srila Prabhupada is our Shiksha Guru. Right? Alright, this is a very nice statement. But then we are his Shiksha disciples. That is the other side of the implication. It is not one-sided. If you accept Srila Prabhupada as Shiksha Guru, which we all agree he is, then the other side of it is that you become accountable to him directly. Accountable to him directly. So you have to represent these teachings in your own life, and always that representative will be necessary to see the translation of the teachings into practical life. So our role as teachers of Bhagavatam, or Bhagavad Gita, should be to take each of these purports of Srila Prabhupada's personal letters, like we read in the morning, Nectar Book Distribution. There are different ways to read it. One way to read it, which is highly effective, is this Srila Prabhupada's instruction early in the morning for us to carry in our heart and manifest that instruction in our book distribution program that day or in our sadhana that day. So, I have found it extremely helpful, and I never felt to be too distant from Prabhupada by studying his books. I always felt, in fact, I can be even more honest. By studying Prabhupada's books, I felt closer to Prabhupada than to hear from many devotees. When I heard from many devotees, I felt a little non-transparency. But when I study Prabhupada's books directly, I found a complete transparency. I'm not saying it proudly, so don't imitate it. If you want to, you can get that connection. You can feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada as a most prominent Shiksha Guru in your life. It is not at all difficult. The reason we are afraid of that is that also brings a responsibility upon us. It is not one-sided. If you want Prabhupada as your guru, then you are his shishya. One who takes his books like that in a very personal way, Srila Prabhupada will teach. So, but then it comes with the responsibility. You have to now take that teaching and manifest it in your life. It is not armchair philosophy. If you want to learn armchair philosophy, you will not be able to learn that way. If you read Prabhupada's books as a personal letters to you and you want to do armchair philosophy, it will be totally contradictory. You won't be able to do it. Another very important principle while studying Bhakti Shastri or any scripture is, now I'm mentioning what are some things you can look for while you study scriptures. One is, how can we improve the culture of Bhagavatam amongst us? What is the culture of Bhagavatam? First of all. So when we think of cultural points, it's not about rangolis and, you know, flower wreaths placed on the door and, you know, yogurt, unbroken barley and yogurt parts kept at the door and so on. That kind of culture is there, but the Bhagavatam culture is not just that. The Bhagavatam's culture is true Vaishnava exchanges. How to manifest true Vaishnava exchanges amidst us? What are these cultural principles that are being discussed? How can we imbibe them? How can we present them to each other so we make it a very interesting lifestyle? The lifestyle of the Bhagavatam should manifest. You know, so this culture, when we look at the Bhagavatam, look at the culture in which it is being presented. When I say culture, I don't mean Indian culture versus American culture. I mean to say the culture of respect, the culture of compassion, the culture of broad-mindedness, the culture of obedience, the culture of divine qualities, and at the same time, the acute problems associated with demoniac consciousness, the culture of demoniac consciousness. So this is another foundation on which we can study the Bhagavatam, how to manifest that culture amongst us, amongst devotees. I have found this to be the most powerful of all my different ways of studying the scripture, how to manifest the Bhagavatam's culture. Then another principle is, always look in terms of certain Bhagavatam personality. This fourth principle, fourth foundation. How to understand the Bhagavatam? We have to assume that certain personalities, not assume, you have to know. In our case, in the beginning, maybe an assumption, but it's a fact, which begins with an assumption. We have to accept the fact that personalities like Yudhishthira, they are always thinking about Krishna. They are never thinking about themselves. They are not thinking of running away from responsibility. They are not thinking of, you know, troubles, how to avoid troubles. They are only thinking about how to please Krishna in any circumstance. So, we have to study the Bhagavatam. If you want to understand the Bhagavatam's inner message, you have to know the integrity of the persons involved in it. We have to understand Draupadi is always doing it with the highest integrity in her relationship with Krishna. And even when they are dealing with Duryodhana, even when they are dealing with Ashwatthama, their concern to please Krishna is not even slightly diminished. This is a very important foundation block in understanding scriptures and how to manifest it in our life, or even to understand other devotees. For example, I have known Prabhuji for 8 years now. I know certain things about him as absolutely unshakable. Even if 100 people say something different about him, I will not be able to believe it. Because I know those are given facts about him. And that is what helps me to understand his actions. That is what helps me to understand his, you know, the purposes and reasons why he may have done certain things. The Bhagavatam is built on this. What is the quality of a divinely conscious person, which you can take for granted, which is a hard reality, which will never change. And then you understand the events surrounding that. For example, there's a good example, for example. When Arjuna finds that Ekalavya is firing arrows very beautifully, Arjuna goes and tells Dronacharya, "You promised me that nobody would be a better archer than me. But here's Ekalavya. Who is better than me? Or at least he's getting quite close." If you did not understand Arjuna's character, you are definitely going to make a wrong conclusion that Arjuna is envious of Ekalavya. It's exactly the opposite conclusion. Arjuna cannot be envious. What is he trying to do? He's trying to protect his spiritual master so that his word will not become false. His spiritual master is a Brahmana, and his word cannot go false, because if that goes false, the entire system will break down. So he's trying to prevent Dronacharya's words from becoming false. Unless you understand Arjuna's nature like this, you will come up with the wrong explanation of this whole event. Many people glorify Ekalavya. See, even when his guru asked for his thumb, he very happily gave it. Then what did he do? He did not stop firing arrows. He was firing arrows. So, if you want the Bhagavatam sculpture, you have to learn to trust certain divine qualities in devotees. A Madhyamadhikari has certain devotee qualifications. A Uttamadhikari has certain divine qualities. And a Kanishthadhikari has certain qualities. And you have to really go by those qualities. And very big people also don't understand this, because they get lost in the events. The same events can be done with hundreds of motivations. Hundreds of motivations. The same thing can be done with hundreds of motivations. And it's extremely difficult to understand the motivation of another person. So, the Bhagavatam is built around that. Repeatedly it will come up. Where we as a reader or student of Bhagavatam will be challenged with this exercise. What have you understood about Devahuti's character? When she says that I am harassed by my senses and I am sick and tired of sense gratification, in what mood is she saying it? Is she saying it like us? Is that her mood, or is something else behind it, what she's saying? Similarly, when Chitraketu approaches, you know, Sankarsana, and Lord Sankarsana is instructing him on fruitive activity, what kind of fruitive activity is he instructing him on? Unless you have understood Chitraketu's exalted quality, you are bound to make a mistake of what kind of fruitive, you know, activity he's engaged in, and why is Lord Sankarsana instructing him in that way. So, we have to absolutely understand that these characters in the Bhagavatam are absolute personal. They are unshakable. Whatever the circumstances may be, there must be a devotional reason why they are doing what they are doing. And that consciousness should come to us in our dealings with devotees. This devotee is, you know, he cannot miss a Mangal Aarti. He has never missed it. Today if he has missed it, it must be because of something very, very extraordinary. Even if somebody says whatever X, Y, Z about it, I am not going to be convinced so easily. This is the Bhagavatam sculpture that has to come into our lives. And I learned this lesson very early when I studied the Bhagavatam. How to understand the mysterious actions of Draupadi. How to understand the mysterious action of Parikshit when he was cursed by Sringi. He had the power to curse back Sringi and transfer the curse upon Sringi. The person who gave the curse could have died. But Parikshit didn't do it. So now why didn't he do it? The explanation can only be understood if you understood his nature. So the Bhagavatam is repeatedly discussing the qualities of great personalities. The quality of Ambarish Maharaj, the quality of Parikshit, the quality of Yudhishthira, the quality of Kunti. That is the language of the Bhagavatam. So when you look at the language of the Bhagavatam, it is not in terms of expertise of management. It's not in terms of expertise of skills. It's in terms of the expertise of the qualities of the person involved. So that is the language of a devotee, Lakshanam. So once you've understood the quality of a person, and we have to come to this, we have to manifest this in our lives. And different people are different. The natures are completely different. Even husband and wife, the natures are completely different. If you don't have the deep faith in the quality of each other, if you only see the events, external things, and after 25 years you never took the time to understand what is the core quality of this person, you're not learning much of the Bhagavatam. So, and that means the training process is not succeeding. We are not imparting the real Bhagavatam's training to others. Some theory is being learned, some slokas are being memorized, some preaching is being done, but qualities are not becoming solidified. Suppose you say that after 25 years, Prabhu, you are still a neophyte. I can take part of the responsibility for it, but the rest of the responsibility has to come to those who have trained me also. It has to come. There was some defect in the training process, that the Bhagavatam's teachings did not get sufficiently illuminated in my life. So as a movement, when we study the Bhagavatam, my approach to this kind of study is like this only. You know, whenever I taught people, I taught them to look at the qualities of these persons. The more you look at these qualities, the more your own qualities will develop. There is no other way to develop them. If you want to develop Yudhishthira-like qualities, you look at his qualities again and again. Don't envy him. And don't try to imitate him. The more you study Yudhishthira's qualities, the more you will develop Yudhishthira-like qualities. The more you study Dhruva Maharaj's qualities, the more... That is why these examples are there. Like the sunflower, how does a sunflower grow? It's turning always towards the sun and looking at the sun. Right? That's all it does. And it grows perfectly. Similarly, how does a devotee grow? He keeps looking at the sun. That's all. But if you look at the darkness, then you don't grow. You keep looking at the sun throughout the day. And the sun is shining through the examples of Yudhishthira, through the examples of Parikshit, through the examples of Sages of Naimisharanya. Even in the first canto, so many ways the sun of Krishna consciousness is coming to us. The more you keep looking at it, the more you keep looking at it, automatically you become good. Beyond yourself you become good. Only condition is that the person from whom you are learning should be transparent. He should not project himself higher than what he actually is. Two things. He must admit honestly where he is, and you should not try to explore beyond the stage where he is. Then you will be able to grow up to that stage fairly quickly. Now you may ask the question, how can I grow beyond that? You can. Now his duty as a transparent representative is to show you how to look to Srila Prabhupada. His duty is not to make you look at him only.
Out of gratitude you may look at him, but he should teach you how to look at Prabhupada. And as you look at Prabhupada, as you look at Prabhupada, as you look at Prabhupada, all those divine understandings will come to you. Just like the sunflower grows simply by looking at the sun. A good example. So we don't have to really make any other effort. We are maybe making too much effort. The only thing is we just have to be honest at the level at which we are. Suppose somebody asked me to teach a Bhakti Shastri course. I may say, Prabhuji, first 3 slokas of Nectar of Instruction, I may be able to teach to some degree. Beyond that, somebody else has to teach. This is an honest position. When it comes to loving exchanges, I'm a zero. I don't know what loving exchanges are. So that verse you don't ask me to teach. I am not able to differentiate between different Vaishnavas also. Don't ask me to teach. So now what will happen, you know, you will say that means very few people will be able to teach 6 loving exchanges. No. By this honesty, your capacity, because you will be looking through the eyes of Prabhupada, your capacity to teach the 4th verse will come by the time you have completed the 3rd verse. But if you artificially assume the responsibility, then because you are hiding in darkness, you will not get that capacity.
So, foundation, principle number 4, is look to the qualities of these people as fixed. They do not change with circumstances. They are transcendental qualities. Draupadi's compassion is transcendental. Yudhishthira Maharaj's truthfulness is transcendental. Under no circumstances Yudhishthira Maharaj will ever bluff. It is not possible for him to bluff. Under no circumstance he will be ungrateful to his superiors. So if something irregular happens, it seems to be contradictory, the event should be seen differently. Not that his qualities will change. And this is the culture we have to bring into our Vaishnavas. That we are rock solid people. We stand for the principles. We don't stand for the events around us. The events will change. But the relationships are not based on events. Many times in reality we do make our relationship based on events rather than qualities. We have to forget about the events. Because even in the lives of exalted persons, some questionable events can happen. Kripacharya, for example, very exalted person. He was instrumental in killing Abhimanyu in a very, very improper way. But how did Yudhishthira deal with it? He gave his son, grandson, please take him and train him. The very person's father he killed. But Yudhishthira takes that son and says, you please train him. So even in the lives of very great personalities, sometimes certain unusual events can take place. Manduka Muni, you know, doing something very improper. And then Yamaraj taking birth as Vidura. So if you go by events, if our relationship is going to be based on events, then the Bhagavatam's culture is not entering our heart. The Bhagavatam's culture is based on qualities. The language of devotees is qualities. It is not events. Don't try to interpret the events too much. Obviously we have to deal with the events and the consequences of events in this world. But we don't give it undue importance. We give it relative importance. Within this world, for the functioning of this world, you know, we have to have certain norms. But that is not so important. The Bhagavatam is not emphasizing so much those things. Apiche sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhag saudareva samantavya samyak vyavasitavya. So even if somebody does something very abominable, you must see his core character, his core qualities as a devotee. Over so many years he has been serving Prabhupada's movement with such steadiness. So if that's the case, we have to see beyond the immediate whatever happened. This is not a license for people to do improper things and say, I'm not saying that. But as a culture, what should be our culture? Our culture should not be event-based. If it is events-based, we will not have very good relationships. And that means the Bhagavatam is not coming to us. That's what is... Something else is coming. We are reading the Bhagavatam in a different way. Another principle is that the Bhagavatam gives us everything we need. This is another foundation which we have to accept. You don't need anything outside the Bhagavatam. Really?
We don't need to know how to grow grains. You don't need to know, you know, Bhagavatam tells you how to develop cows. Bhagavatam tells you how to take care of fields. Bhagavatam tells you how to take care of management. Somebody will ask like this. My answer is yes. It does. It is just that we are not studying it with the proper qualities. What the way Bhagavatam does it is, because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, the more you are absorbed in Krishna, the more Krishna will direct you from within to do all these practical things which are extremely important. How to manage, how to do agriculture, how to do crop protection. Here they have 460 cows. 2 years ago when I came, they had 180 and 190 cows. More than double. One person is taking care with some 20 people to assist. How is he able to do it? Krishna is inspiring. It's not that the Bhagavatam is giving all the details. It's not even that these 20 people who are assisting him, they are experts in cow management. Isn't it? They may be good, but I don't think they know all the details of everything. But Krishna is inspiring this particular devotee because of his absolute dedication. The Bhagavatam is giving the answers in a mysterious way. Bhagavatam is also giving answers for doing PhD. So many of my students are getting their PhDs in very record time. One devotee got his PhD in 1 year and 9 months. And one devotee got his PhD at the age of 23. So if you study the Bhagavatam, it definitely doesn't say how to do PhD in, you know, 1 year and 9 months. But you get the inspiration from within. So we must have this conviction that if we have a Bhagavatam culture, everything we need for our movement will be automatically provided. So you don't have to go through lots of management books and lots of, you know, these sorts of things. In fact, those who clutter up your intelligence and those show lack of faith in the Bhagavatam, is the lack of faith in Bhagavatam that's hurting more than the lack of knowledge of those things. We are thinking the lack of knowledge of those things is hurting us. The lack of, just like somebody asked me recently, so many farmers are committing suicide and you are saying that we should go on farming. It seems highly contradictory. I said, the farmers are doing farming, but they are not doing farming the way Krishna wants it to be done. They are using it for exploitative purposes and they don't do Naam Sankirtan, they don't have any Shravan program, they have no Kirtan program, and therefore the rains are not coming because of that. Suppose you had a farm where people are doing these things regularly. Rains will come. It may be Kali Yuga, what difference does it make? Rains will come. That faith and the knowledge and the illumination will come from within. You know, how does a baby calf get the intelligence to suck the milk from the mother cow? Krishna gives. In the same way, Krishna will give whatever intelligence is necessary for managing, for getting things done, for financial. Everything is the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a complete answer. Bhagavatam is a complete answer. We must approach the Bhagavatam with this faith. Something miraculous will happen when you do this. Your interest to study the Bhagavatam will increase enormously. Not as a utilitarian thing. This is very important. Don't try to utilize the Bhagavatam to solve your few pennies problem. That is highly unintelligent. That's highly unintelligent. We are not studying the Bhagavatam to get good rains. Good rains will come out of respect for the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, there is the Samantaka jewel story. When Akrura left the place with the Samantaka jewel, all the elders of the Yadu Vamsha, they were thinking that rains had stopped because Akrura was not there anymore. Krishna wanted to correct this opinion. It is not because Akrura was not present, but because Krishna was not happy, the rains were not coming. Similarly, if we make Bhagavatam a means for taking care of our problems will not be taken care of. Rather, we will be
drowned by the Bhagavatam. We must take shelter of the Bhagavatam purely out of love. This is what the Bhagavata teaches. The Bhagavata is not teaching that you study the Bhagavatam, your PhD will get over in 2 months or 2 years. You study the Bhagavatam, you know, your temple finances will boom. And you study the Bhagavatam and all the cows will be happy. If he teaches this way, then he is not a Bhagavata. Then there will be problems. It's the wrong culture. What should we get while we study the Bhagavatam? This is all practical study of the Bhagavatam. Illumination should come in your life. You must increasingly feel your attraction towards Krishna. And as a consequence of that attraction to Krishna, the whole place flourishes. You are not worried about it. In fact, it is others who benefit. You are not benefiting. Sometimes the devotee himself is in starvation. The one who is fixed in Bhagavatam, he is in starvation. Other people are getting rains and everything else. It's happened. Tukaram, in his life it happened. There were droughts in Maharashtra at that time when he was there. And his own family was in great, great, great difficulty. And when the crops came, Tukaram gave away all the grains to all the people. When it finally came to his own house with 2 children, he had nothing to give. He was not studying the Bhagavatam or worshipping Vithal just because he wanted to solve some problems. When we give up this fruity mentality and approach the Bhagavatam as a glorification of such a Bhagavata, rains will come abundantly in that country. Ongi ulagalanda uttaman bearpadi. You know that song? Angal nam paviki chatini naranal. Thingindi naranalam. Thingal mummani vedu. Ongu peranjanna loodu gailugala. Pungole podil poruvendu ganupadipa. Thingagi pukki in the sirthamalai putri. Vanga kudal nerekam. Vallal perumbasukal. Ningagi sallum. Nirendelur empavai. So if you want to change your consciousness, which is the whole topic, how to change it from... The Bhagavatam should not be used to solve problems. If you open the Bhagavatam to try to find out, there is a surgery book or something like that, you will not solve. So Andala sung this very beautiful song, Ongi Ulagalanda Uttaman Bearpadi. She is singing in praise of Vamanadev, who expanded himself as Trivikrama. Angalnam Paviki Shatrini Naal. Thing in the Nadalam, Thingal. There is no thing. Thing means bad effect in all over the country. There is no famine, there is no theft, and there is no any kind of accident, fire, theft, any kind of. Thing in the Nadalam, Thingal Mummari Ved. Thingal means month. 3 times in a month it rains. What does it mean? That means for 9 days it will rain, 1 day it will not rain. It should not continuously rain, it's not good. 9 days, 10th day it will not rain. Again 9 days it will rain, 10th day it will not rain. Again 9 days it will rain, 10th day it will not rain. This is ideal rain. Thingindri nadana, thingal mummari vedu, ongu verunjannal udugail. And this channel means this beautiful paddy. It grows very tall, just like Trivikrama. This paddy is also growing. Punguvalai podil poruvendu ganupadipar. And the honeybee is sitting on the flowers and the stalks of the flowers are swaying nicely and he is just very comfortably sleeping, just taking the honey. Punguvalai podil poruvendu ganupadipar. Thengade pukkirindu sirthamulai patri. So the cows, they give milk just upon touching the udders. You don't have to milk them. Just go and touch immediately, it just pours. Vanga kudal nerekam, vallal perumbasukal. Perumbasukal, these are not ordinary miserly cows. They fill your bucket as soon as you keep the bucket under there, this thing, milk bag. They automatically milk. Who are they? These are the pure devotees of Krishna. You just go near them and say, I want some transcendental, you just say, I want some tea. Tea for transcendental knowledge. They give you unlimited transcendental knowledge. That kind of, the real Bhagavata is like that. Real Bhagavata. Because he is not sure whether you will ask again. So one time you ask, take everything. One time you ask, you do.
So these are the cows that gives you unlimited supply of milk. Everything happens. So all these things are completely possible if we have one thing very important. The Bhagavatam cannot be learned. This is another foundational principle. The Bhagavatam cannot be learned in an atmosphere where there is doubt and suspicion about Bhagavatas. It cannot be learned. If there is a doubt and suspicion about Bhagavatas, so you must correct that atmosphere. Atmosphere should be very healthy, where Bhagavatas are, who is a Bhagavata, will take it for granted that anyone who is sincerely chanting 16 rounds and who is wanting to serve Srila Prabhupada, at some level he is a Bhagavata. Or even if somebody is not chanting 16 rounds, 4 rounds, 3 rounds, they are all Bhagavatas, neophyte Bhagavatas. They are all Bhagavatas. And even about them, there should be no negativity. No negative current should be there. Because in that place, these things will not happen. These things will not happen. These things will happen only when the atmosphere is pure, and even I have suffered. Even accidentally, if you think wrongly about a Bhagavata, immediately the consequence will be very grave. Rains will not come, PhDs will not get completed, children will be sick, Matajis will not be peaceful. All these things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, consequence will happen immediately. Don't doubt it. Don't experiment with that part. Positive part you experiment. Negative part you don't experiment. It's very serious. Because in that environment, Bhagavatam cannot be absorbed. Don't find fault with anybody. This is the principle of the Bhagavatam. If you want to learn the Bhagavatam, you must give up the culture of fault-finding, not just fault-finding. The culture of fault-finding should be given up in that place altogether. It's a foundational principle. You'll find it again and again and again in the Bhagavatam, this point emphasized. Whenever there is fault-finding and criticism of a Bhagavata, immediately there is havoc. Immediately there is havoc. All good principles are forgotten. Low-level interactions begin. Durvasa Muni with Ambarish Maharaj, Daksha with Lord Shiva and his whole followers. There is, you know, bloodshed in the sacrificial arena. They are pulling out the mustache of Bhrigu Muni. Just imagine. The Bhagavatam is recording it. These are universal people, not, you know, ISKCON Tirupati people. These are people of the universal dimensions, Prajapatis and all these people sitting together. Highly qualified people. Even Bhrigu Muni is getting, you know, losing control. He is also cursing the followers of Lord Shiva. So this culture has to be given up. The Bhagavatam culture is a straightforward culture. There cannot be any duplicity. We must speak our heart. If somebody asks you, what do you think of this place? If I don't like it, I must say honestly, Prabhuji, I know the place is very good, but my heart is not good. I'm not able to feel the sweetness in it. Rather than pretending, Prabhuji, everything is so nice, pink color, you know, sannyasi color, walls also. The Bhagavatam will not manifest in your life with that duplicity. Will not manifest. We must be very straightforward. Prabhupada wanted this culture. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So the Bhagavatam will not manifest in that environment. It will never manifest. Everything has, you can chastise, there is nothing wrong. Chastisement is allowed in the Bhagavatam. But it should be without malice. It should be straightforward. And it's over. You never remember it afterwards. You never recall it. Chastisement has its purpose, and once it is done, it is forgotten and finished. I have made many mistakes. It's not that I have not made mistakes. And I have seen both the positive and the negative side of life. When you don't create this culture, people are not absorbed in the Bhagavatam. You can go on harping as much as you like. Where you have to correct this, correct that part. If you want to learn the Bhagavatam, you have to correct that part. So there has to be grouping of devotees is unavoidable. groupings. Nowadays in ISKCON, the word groupism is a very popularly, not popularly, often used word. But groupism is necessary without group consciousness. We have to have groups for learning. We have to have, you know, like-minded people of like-minded association, like advancement to learn together. So if I am training very newcomers, they have to be trained in a special way because that environment should not affect the environment of others. And vice versa. So, if you want the Bhagavatam culture, this is all part of Bhakti Shastri. And Bhakti Shastri is not just a bunch of lessons in the classroom. If you really want the Bhagavatam culture, completely eliminate this fault finding. Anybody who chants Hare Krishna, just don't find fault with them. It is between them and Krishna. If you have a position where you have to correct them because of your service to Krishna, correct them directly. Directly. Openly, directly. Finished. And it's over. Otherwise, it will not create the right environment. And people should, if you are having a true Bhagavatam culture, people will have the courage to be truthful more and more. Because that's what life is all about, ultimately. Being more and more truthful with yourself. You have the courage to face yourself. I have envy in my heart. I have pride in my heart. To see these things itself is seeing. What is the difference between a Grahamedhi and a Grahastha? A Grahamedhi does not see that he has problems. A Grahastha sees that he has problems. And he is working on it. He wants to eliminate the problems. A Grahamedhi is Pashyan Api Napashyat. Even though he is seeing, he is not able to see. So when there is Bhagavatam culture, you will be able to see that I still have pride in my heart. I still have lust in my heart. And you are not alarmed by it. Rather, you want to expose yourself more and more to the light of the Bhagavatam. How to remove darkness? Expose yourself to the light. You cannot just pump out darkness. You know, you cannot keep on vacuum pump. Throw out all the darkness and there will be light. There will be a lot of noise. And a lot of frustration. You cannot pump it out. You have to fill it with light. That means, light means love. When somebody leads extra love, suppose somebody is not able to benefit directly from the Bhagavatam. These are principles from the Bhakti Shastri. If somebody is not able to directly benefit by discussion about Yudhishthira because he is experiencing some darkness in his heart, then you have to show light by taking the principles of Bhagavatam and manifesting that in the relationship of that person. In general, studying the Bhagavatam is sufficient. But when there is an acute case where there are specific areas of illumination that are required, you have to manifest that loving relationship for that person in his life or her life. So all of this goes in a combined way, in a beautiful, you know, symphony orchestra. None of this is to be done separately from the others. It's just a culture of Bhagavatam. So these are some thoughts. I think it's alright. I'm sorry if I went beyond the call of... We can take a break and I'll take questions. Yes, all of you please feel free to share. It doesn't have to be questions and answers. You can also add your own comments and experiences, whatever you want. Srila Prabhupada, 10 minutes.
Want to do an exercise? I'm going to read a passage. I want you to see how you can apply what you learned, any part of what we learned.
This exercise, I opened one page, I got one message from it. I'm going to open another page. Alright. I'm going to read this. Based on what we discuss, you write down your top impressions. First canto, 12th chapter, verse 27.
Rakshakadatmano mrityum dvija putro pasas sarjita. Prapatsyata
upashrutya mukta sangha padam hare. After hearing his about hearing about his death, which will be caused by the bite of a snake bird sent by the son of a brahmana, he will get himself freed from all material attachment and surrender unto the personality of Godhead, taking shelter of him. This is the verse purport. Material attachment and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord go ill together. Material attachment means ignorance of transcendental happiness under the shelter of the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord while existing in the material world is a way to practice one's transcendental relationship with the Lord. And when it is matured, one gets completely free from all material attachment and becomes competent to go home back to Godhead. Maharaj Parikshit, being especially attached to the Lord from the beginning of his body in the womb of his mother, was continuously under the shelter of the Lord. And the so-called warning of his death within 7 days from the date of the curse by the Brahmana's son was a boon to him to enable him to prepare himself to go back home, back to Godhead. Since he was always protected by the Lord, he could avoid the effect of such a curse by the grace of the Lord. But he did not take such undue advantage for nothing. Rather, he made the best use of a bad bargain. For 7 continuous days, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. And thus, he got the shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord by that opportunity. So that's the verse and purport. You don't have to write, you can just think about these questions. First question, what is the cultural message from this passage that we can imbibe in our devotee community? What's the cultural message from this passage? Number 2, discuss the importance of training and education to see events in one's life as mercy of Krishna. Discuss the importance of training and education in one's life to see events as mercy of Krishna. Number 3, discuss how you can apply the teaching of this verse with someone that is very dear to you, your parents or your friend or another devotee, for whom this message would be highly relevant. And number 4, comment on the respective behavior of Sringi and Parikshit in the particular circumstances at hand. In the particular circumstances at hand, comment on the behavior of Sringi and Parikshit Maharaj. You don't have to write the answers, you can just reflect on them. Because the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to change your absorption. So if it helps you to write, you can write. If it just helps you to think about it more deeply, you can think about it.
12th chapter. 27th verse.
So anybody has any comments, questions? Like this, you do the exercise with each section of the Bhagavatam based on these 7 or 8 foundational principles we discussed. Then you'll go deep into your heart. You'll make mistakes in the beginning, but if you have a guide, those mistakes are easy to correct. Without guidance, it will not be easy. Yes, Vedanta, anything?
Thank you very much, sir, for describing these very important principles. Something which was coming to my thought process is that, as you described, unless there is a serene atmosphere or a loving atmosphere, mutually trusting atmosphere, these Bhagavatam principles cannot be discussed effectively.
Yeah.
So the first thing is that we are discussing Bhagavatam so that that naturally those, that atmosphere evolves.
That's true.
But the question comes here is that when we are studying Bhagavatam, is it not that, you know, without our knowledge, we are trying to use Bhagavatam to set such an atmosphere? Because that's not what we are supposed, not
well,
supposed to.
that is not outside the spiritual scope. The atmosphere is not for rains and no famine. The atmosphere is for loving Krishna, which is part of the Bhagavatam. So that aim is not wrong. That is not outside the scope of Bhagavatam. To have an atmosphere of loving devotion amongst devotees is a natural goal for devotees. We are not looking for material benefits. If you are looking for material benefits, then that would be a wrong goal. And contained within your question is the other side of it. To begin with, we don't have that environment, and Bhagavatam is the means to achieve that environment. So then, how can we discuss the Bhagavatam when the environment is not there? The answer is that systematic discussion of Bhagavatam will not be possible. General purification will be possible. Just like Harinam Sankirtan. It has a general purifying effect. But then, the deeper levels of bhakti and its intricacies cannot be understood without discussing the Bhagavatam. Very rare soul, just by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, can possibly develop bhakti, pure bhakti. But without Sambandhi Gyan, one cannot in general. So, the general discussions of the Bhagavatam in our morning and evening classes will create an overall atmosphere of purity, at least sufficient purity. And based on that sufficient purity, now we have to go into a highly focused type of purity, which comes by detailed study, systematic study. Maybe that's the way I understand it. Seems to work better. Both are necessary. General purification. And the general purification generally is not kept so focused on purpose. So different speakers speak. If it's too focused, it'll go into a systematic training process. For that you need relationships. You cannot do it without relationships. So if you want everybody to have a relationship with the same person, that'll not be good in a multi-environment like ours. So, there have to be different speakers on different days, so a light mood is there. At the same time, an overall purification happens. And then with the help of that overall purification, being grateful for that, you create an environment where each person is able to learn from some specific teacher or teachers.
So, you would have heard about Ramanujacharya coming to Tirupati to learn Ramayan from Srishaila Purna. He comes actually. So generally our understanding is Ramayan is a story. This is the story. Mahabharata is the story. Bhagavatam, of course, some principles, some deep studies there. The Ramayan, what is the actual story? I read Ramayan. I finished the Mahabharata. But he makes it a point there. He's showing to everybody that one has to learn even Ramayan, the story, from a guru. Similarly, Prabhupada says, I read Bhagavatam. You cannot say that actually. Unless you get the permission and the blessings of a guru and the guidance, then only you can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, otherwise not possible. Can you throw some light on it?
Yes, any scripture, not just Bhagavatam. Any scripture has codified within it lessons that we must learn. If we don't have the blessings and faith in the Guru, yasadeva parabhakti rathadeva datha guru, dasyate kadidhayartha prakashante mahatmana, we don't have the blessings of the Guru and faith in the Guru, the whole process will become academic. So vice versa, if you are actually getting realizations, that means the blessings of Guru are there with you. It may not be in a very elaborate way, you are sitting at his lotus feet every day and so on. But without the blessings of Guru, it is not possible. Without the blessings of the Acharyas, it is not possible. So if somebody is developing nice realizations of the Bhagavatam, something very, very subtle is going on in his life, which we cannot. So when Ramanujacharya was getting the association of Shalapurna,
It was not just that they heard the Ramayana together. The complete blessings of the Purvacharyas were available to them through that exercise. So Ramanujacharya spent 2 years with Shailapurna learning the Ramayana. That is what they say. So, yes, both are necessary to discuss scriptures with. And one who, from whom you are learning, he is also guru. It is not that somebody else has to be a guru. Shailapurna in this case is one of the gurus of Ramanujacharya who taught him. He had 5 Siksha gurus. One of them was Shailapurna. So, he had the blessings and they were obviously not discussing just the story. The story of Ramayana will not take so long for people of that caliber. They will finish it within a month maximum. Even my father used to regularly recite the Ramayana. Every 2 months he would begin from the beginning and complete. And then he would begin again and complete. So every day reading for 1 hour or 1.5 hours, within 2 years, he was able to complete. Every two to three months, he was able to complete. So for such exalted personalities, just to discuss Ramayana as a set of pastimes would not be too difficult. But they were, just like Lord Chaitanya discussed with Gadadhara Pandit, the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj so many times. Obviously they were discussing something more than what the Bhagavatam explicitly says. They were discussing the consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj, the consciousness of Hiranyakashipu, how the two together were living. What a great wonder it is. So yes. Thank you. Yes, Gopal Nimoy. I hope I was not boring all of you too much. Was it helpful to you? Tell me the truth. If you tell me the truth, next time I will at least change myself. Was it helpful? Seriously. I am asking seriously. I am not asking superficially. If it was helpful, then I can offer you more. This is what I know what to offer. If it's not helpful, I can just sink it and we can all be happy. कोई दुकान में जब जाते हैं वो जो खरीदने जा रहे हैं वहां पर मिलेगा तभी तो वहां से ले सकते हैं मेरे दुकान में यही मिल रहा है अगर इससे आपका काम चल रहा है तो अच्छा है यू अंडरस्टैंड हिंदी ना नो I was speaking Hindi on purpose, not because I didn't think you don't understand English, but I wanted to add a little countryness to it, ruralness to my speech. Telugu I do not know. You know Tamil? No. You know Tamil? எங்கிட்ட என் கடையில வந்து இதுதான் வைக்கிறேன் அவர் என்ன கூப்பிடுறாரு இந்த கடைக்கு வந்து வாங்கிக்கோ உங்களுக்கு அந்த கடையில இருக்கிற சாமான் பிடிக்கலன்னா நீங்க சொல்லணும் இந்த சாமான் எனக்கு வேற நல்ல சாமான் கொடுப்பேன் அது இருந்தா கொடுப்பேன் புரியுதா I have only certain commodities in my shop if that commodity is not of interest to you you should tell me that this commodity is not of interest to me, then I can either bring new commodity or I can tell you my capacity does not allow me to bring this new commodity. Did it help you? It's highly dynamic. Highly dynamic. Highly dynamic, very, very powerful. And it helps a lot with our chanting. This kind of scripture study changes our approach to chanting. Our chanting will improve by many, many times if we study scriptures in this way.
we find dynamism in chanting. It is not a static experience. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. In certain situations, there may be people, you know, who are staying within the temple and probably chanting for more number of years. But, you know, their attitude and behavior is something different. So
they are neophyte devotees. So what is your question? The attitude is different, yes.
Means, you know, like, you know, that loving atmosphere should be there and such people, means what should be as...
We should look for general purification for such people. We should not try to train them too deeply. Till they come to a point of focus, we shouldn't try to train them too deeply. General purification by Krishna karma and sankirtan. Engage them in prasadam distribution and so on. In this way, they come to a more focused way of life. Till that time, we should teach them very general basic things. And that is the way this program is structured. Of course, it is not the number of years. That we have to be careful. Consciousness has nothing to do with the number of years a person has spent. Generally, we tend to equate that. Just because somebody has been for 10 years doesn't mean that they necessarily have the Madhyama or Uttama qualification. So when somebody is deliberately disruptive in his behavior, we may not be able to help them. That may require very empowered personalities to help such people. But if somebody is not focused because he's not yet trained, that is easy. That is easy. A non-judgmental, loving approach towards such a person will help him. But if somebody is deliberately trying to disrupt the program, then the best medicine for them is to neglect them. Still, one should not judge them. Because it affects us, it doesn't affect them, it affects us. Our own relationship with Krishna becomes affected. So we have important things to do, we have limited capacity, limited time. We keep doing those good things. Pray for them. Every day I pray for something like 20 devotees, very specifically, taking the time for each and every person. So we can also pray. Because certain things have to be communicated directly by Krishna. Nobody else can do it. If a person is deliberately misbehaving, then Krishna only can deal with it. You can pray to Krishna. In the meantime, continue to do the good work without being judgmental about that person. Because frankly, chanting of the holy name will rectify anybody. Any rascal will be rectified by chanting. With little basic sambandhi gyan, proper sambandhi gyan, anybody, no matter how fallen they are, they will be rectified by chanting. It may take lifetimes, but they will be rectified. Therefore, we don't have to spend all our time on that. If they happen to be in your congregation and they are causing a disturbance, then some practical arrangement may have to be done to give them an avenue where they can do non-disruptive service. Give them a field where they can do something. So they feel satisfied. And if they get the association of pure Bhagavatas from time to time, that will purify them. Generally, I don't find deliberately disruptive people so many. I just find people who haven't had the training or the opportunity. Occasionally you find deliberately disruptive people. Very rare. But occasionally you do find them.
In that case, best to leave them alone because we are not yet such strong devotees to deal with it. They will disrupt us. If we try to help them, they will cause a disturbance for you. And then whatever little good work you are doing for others, that also will be stopped. I don't know what the intent of your question was. Maybe it was not the general, but the specifically disruptive person. So I don't know what to do. Pray and give them a field where they can do what they have to do, so they don't become disruptive towards more innocent people. Yes, Prabhu. Balabhadra.
So, Lakshmipati Prabhu asked this question actually. Okay. Today's morning question, Prabhu, in the morning class. So to come out from the envy, so we have to seek the person association who is non-envious. And if he is having enviousness, we have to remove from envious means we have to encourage him in Krishna consciousness way. Then he will come out from enviousness. In that 2 points you told, Prabhu.
Yes.
So how to find the person who is non-envious, how to recognize and how to make that encouragement? Question.
That's a very good question. It's the heart of Krishna consciousness. The most important factor here is prayer. Prayer to Krishna to give us the association of such a devotee. Krishna is always eager to give that association. He wants to give us that association. So if we sincerely pray collectively and individually, my dear Lord, please let us have the association of Bhakti Mukti Struhahin Jai Bhakta Labhayate Taku Sangha Anurakta. Let me have attachment and association of persons who are completely free from desire for Bhakti Mukti. Krishna will send you, because we cannot recognize such a person. I'm not saying about you all, you are all highly experienced. You'll be able to recognize, but at least neophyte devotees will not be able to recognize. They will not be able to recognize. Even if such a devotee were to come, they will not be able to recognize. But we can all pray. That is a very important component of getting such association and recognizing them. Second is, as we associate with the personalities like Srila Prabhupada through their teachings, we will get more and more clarity on who is such a pure devotee who is completely free from critical mentality. So the more we associate with personalities like Yudhishthira, Srila Prabhupada, Kunti Devi and so on through the scriptures, we will get a clear picture of who is that person who can give us that association. Third thing is, if you are sitting in the middle of the Ganges, you will definitely feel its flow. Unless you have built a big pillar and you are sitting on top of the pillar. If you are sitting in the middle of the Ganges, you will feel its flow. In other words, mercy will be felt. When you are in the association of someone who is really pure, your heart will get purified. Your heart will desire purity. Your heart will feel satisfaction. Bhakti pureshanu bhavo virakti ranyatra cheshe trugek gala. Papadyamanasya yatha ashnatashu krushti pushti shudapayunagasa. The 11th canto verse, Bhakti pureshanu bhavo. By bhakti you can experience the Lord and you can also become free from material hankerings. So you will experience it. If you have been praying to Krishna and if you are exposing yourself to the illumination of Bhagavatam regularly, even right now let us say we don't have the association of such a personal Bhagavata, but you do have Prabhupada's teachings in his books. If you associate with Srila Prabhupada in that way, very soon you will get the association of Bhagavata, in whose company you will feel the flow taking place. Very soon. Because that is the assurance of the Bhagavatam. Sadyo hridi avarudhyatetra kutibi prushrushibi tatshanat. So only requirement is that while we are praying to Krishna and we are exposing ourselves to the Bhagavatam, we should be very careful not to offend any Bhagavata.
The problem with offending a Bhagavata is that our ability to see a true Bhagavata will be highly disturbed. We won't be able to see a true Bhagavata. When we come in, get into the criticism of Bhagavatas or fault finding with Bhagavata, our ability to see a true Bhagavata will be greatly disturbed. So, if we don't indulge in any kind of criticism or fault finding, if we take shelter of the Bhagavatam and the holy name and prayers to Krishna to send us a really pure Bhagavata association, Krishna will send. And it may be from one of us. It may not be from our side. So far, it is just that we didn't recognize that such a Bhagavata was there amongst us. But suddenly we are able to realize it. What a great loss. I didn't realize. Just like Rahugana, he was with Jada Bharat, but he couldn't recognize that he was a pure Bhagavata. But after Jada Bharat spoke for a few seconds, he understood what a terrible mistake I've done. He came down from his palanquin and fell at the lotus feet of Bharata and begged for forgiveness, and he said, there's nothing I fear more than offending a Brahmana like you. I don't fear Lord Shiva's Trishula, I don't fear Indra's thunderbolt, I don't fear Agni as much as I fear Brahmadanda. So when we pray like this deeply to Krishna and avoid offenses to a Bhagavata, it is quite likely that the Bhagavata will manifest from within us, our own company. It need not be some Sukadeva Goswami person like, you know, coming from Himalayas and landing here, or Seven Hills, Edugundala, Venkataramana, Govinda. Doesn't have to be someone like that. It could be one of us. I honestly feel that, you know, there are some devotees here, they are so pure in their heart. It's just that we don't see them, because we are with them all the time. Without mentioning names, because I want to try to not influence your mind like that. There are some people who are very, very pure. They are so simple and they are so gentle. They are always thinking about the welfare of others. It's just that we haven't taken their association so much. We have become too familiar with them. Isn't it? Am I right? It's not that some Sukadeva Goswami will manifest from that pillar. Pillar will break and, you know, but it's just that we will recognize a pure devotee amongst us. Here's a person who is really pure. His heart is so pure. He has nothing to take from anybody. So it may manifest in our heart. At least I come here for that purpose, to get that kind of pure association. I come here because I feel that purity, I feel that sweetness. Otherwise, year after year, you know, why would I come? It isn't. I come here because I find a sweetness here. Yeah. Otherwise, I won't come. Yeah. Because it's quite difficult, way off. And my responsibilities are such that I can be busy for another 20 lifetimes without doing any of these things. But I find a sweetness, I find a, you know, a lightness, I feel a shelter. I come for that purpose. And the reason I speak so much here is because, not because I realize all these things, but in the company of Vaishnavas, Krishna makes me speak it. If I were with people who were not so pure, who were not so sweet, who were not so eager, then I couldn't say anything. Is that all right?
Thank you, sir, for it's a nice class. The way you are expressing that Prabhupada's books have all the solutions. So even you were giving examples of how being absorbed in Bhagavatam, they could even finish their PhDs. Or so certainly it is, they might have studied their academic books also. So that means it's just the attitude that is different. So under what circumstances should we approach other books? And if we have to approach, how should we approach them?
I don't approach any other books. For bhakti you don't need any other. That is not to say you cannot read other Vaishnava's books. But even if you read other Vaishnava's books, it should be in the light of Srila Prabhupada's books. Not independent of them. It should make you closer to Prabhupada. Suppose I study another Vaishnava's books, it should bring me closer to Prabhupada, not bring a different, divided opinion about Prabhupada. So under what circumstance you can read? You can read any book which is within your realization. You shouldn't read books which are beyond your realization. If it's a commentary on 10th canto, like Dasamatipani of Sanatana Goswami, you should not read that because you have not got the adhikar to read Ujjwala Nilamani. All these books you should not read. But if it is within your realization, you can read it.
Not just on devotional books, like sometimes for practical purposes, some devotees even learn acupressure.
That is alright. It's alright, but one should not, you have to learn something about occupational duties, it's unavoidable to do your work. But one should be convinced that the ability to use that comes from the study of Bhagavatam. Ability to properly discriminate its usage comes from taking shelter of Bhagavatam. Otherwise one will be carried away. So, you read according to the needs of your occupational duty. Suppose somebody is doing tailoring, they may learn, you know, more artistic ways of doing it. There's nothing wrong with it. But they will get bewildered by that if they are not taking shelter of Bhagavatam. They'll get more into illusion. But if they're taking shelter of the Bhagavatam, that extra learning will not affect them, rather it will enhance them. So now one may ask, then why can't we learn management and other things from these things? Because those are based on atheistic principles. Those are not based on theistic principles. Stitching is not based on atheistic principles. Even devotees wear clothes. It's not only non-devotees who wear clothes. Whereas management techniques and so on, they are based on an exploitative strategy. And to take something like that and use it in Krishna's service, it would require an exceptionally highly qualified devotee not to get disillusioned by it. Besides, I think it's unnecessary because our management is quite simple. It's not quite so difficult and complex. If we follow these principles nicely, our management will be just like a breeze. Vaikuntha breezes. Look at that posting of Srila Prabhupada over there. You can read it loudly. I can't.
One thing I want that the highest standards of devotional service be maintained. Our routine work, rising early, cleansing, chanting, temple worship, sankirtana, study, these things must go on very nicely. And if they become improve more and more and are not neglected or in any way decrease, then our all other activities will be successful.
Our management is quite simple. And even if a devotee were to read these outside books, he doesn't spend volumes and volumes of time doing that. He just gets a glimpse of it. He doesn't have to specialize in it. He gets some overall sense of it. And with that overall sense, he's able to manage. Similarly for health. You can go crazy about health nowadays. There are so many options for health. Even within natural medicine, there are 10 different options. How much will you learn and how much will you try? Learn something simple, but take shelter of the Bhagavatam. That's all. In other words, as you take shelter of the Bhagavatam more and more, these other peripheral problems will go away. They won't exist. Like our Rath Yatra festival,
It's a highly complex festival. It's extremely complex to organize it, especially in a big city like Hyderabad or Bombay. It's a nightmare with so much rush, traffic all over the place. But it goes on absolutely smoothly. We never studied a single book on traffic management. It goes on so smoothly, it's sometimes so bewildering, you know, how can things move so smoothly? It doesn't even rain so much. In so many years that I've attended the Hyderabad Rath Yatra, only once we've had downpours very heavy, 2009 or 10, I don't remember. That's the only once we've had such heavy rains. All other times it was very brief and it was just like a nice pushpavrishti. So Krishna will take care. People were so much worried about 2,000 K, 2K. People were even saving grains and all that for a month. Again, 2012 was supposed to be an year of destruction. Some devotees were saving so many things. I didn't bother about anything. Neither 2012 bothered, nor 2K bothered. Because if you are focused on Krishna, it is Krishna's responsibility to protect us. So, in a balanced way, a devotee may occasionally read these sorts of books, but not putting his faith in them, not leaving aside his faith in Krishna, or to think that maybe Srila Prabhupada didn't teach us something, maybe he left out something. Actually, Vedic knowledge is unlimited. Nobody can put them down in all writing. It's impossible. Vyasadeva also cannot do it. It's unlimited. So, inspiration has to keep coming from within the heart. And even someone who is getting such inspiration, he also cannot record all the different aspects of that inspiration in writing or even in speech. He has to just draw whatever useful information is there from the inspiration and present it. And then it's up to the followers, whatever inspiration they can get, and apply it. So, the basic point here is, we must keep our strong faith in the Bhagavatam, that all solutions are manifested from within the Bhagavatam. Now, I'll complete it with one comment. These people who finish their PhD in 1 year and 9 months, it is not that in the Bhagavatam the equations required for their PhD thesis were mentioned. It is just that they got the right inspiration of what those equations should be because they were exposing themselves to the Bhagavatam. The same principle with management or anything else. If you are doing your sadhana properly and if you are doing your respect towards Vaishnavas properly and service to Vaishnavas properly, you will get the inspiration. Be in a continuous mood of service to Krishna. Last question.
Thank you very much for your beautiful class, sir. Especially today's morning class was very wonderful. Now you are saying that first we need to chant properly, and today morning we saw that we had a beautiful kirtan after that class was there, very wonderful class. And my question was, like some devotees, they said that we just read Srila Prabhupada books and we just have to speak from the Prabhupada books. So that will be sufficient to do that?
His question is, some devotees say just read from Prabhupada's books and speak from Prabhupada. Will that be sufficient? Yes, in one sense it is sufficient, provided you are in a mood of service to the Vaishnavas. It is not a matter of academic sufficiency. The attitude sufficiency is required. If an attitude to represent Srila Prabhupada's books is study Prabhupada's books, serve the Vaishnavas, give them happiness, then Krishna will fill in the blanks.
Our life is full of fill in the blanks. And the blanks are all filled by Krishna. So, it's sufficient in one sense that you don't need to, you know, prepare so much for a class and so on. I never prepare for a class. He always gives me topics last minute I come. This time he told me 2 days in advance, in Rath Yatra, Hyderabad Rath Yatra, I told him. But generally, I never get the advance notice. And I don't have time to prepare, neither I have carried all these books with me. I don't even have Prabhupada's, all the books on my computer. I have some books, but not all. And I don't have search engines to search for all the books and all these. So I read the purport, I pray at the lotus feet of my Guru, pray at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, and whatever I have applied in my life, relevant to that, will come. Prabhupada said we should be able to speak at spot notice if necessary. So, in that sense it is sufficient. Not in the sense of academic sufficiency. In the sense of spirituality, it is sufficient because verb is the most important part of a sentence. Without the verb, everything is missing. Once you put the verb, other things may or may not be there, still you can get the meaning. Similarly, Prabhupada's purports are like that. They are the verb of our life. If they are there, other things, even if not there, somehow you can manage. If they are missing, even if everything else is present, something is missing. Yes, studying Prabhupada's books in this mood of service to Vaishnavas is good. But just to gather information, if you study, you will not be able to gather. First of all, we are Kali Yuga souls, we cannot remember too much. Our memory is very, very, very short. Even if you read the same purport 10 times, we are not able to remember exactly what Prabhupada said. But if you are reading in the mood of a service to Prabhupada and Vaishnava, then that is sufficient. I made people become 16 round chanters just by reading one purport every day of Prabhupada. I told them, just read one purport of Prabhupada every day. They were meat eaters, not ordinary people. Meat eaters. Just reading Prabhupada's purport one per day, and that takes only 2-3 minutes in most cases. They became 16 round chanters. So it is sufficient, provided you do it with the right understanding. Shall we stop? Thank you all very much. Please forgive me if I offended anybody. Srila Prabhupada.